computer is always right.
Go closer.
I would call that comment.
All right, first order of business is call to order and roll call of the Newport Planning Commission. This is Jim Patrick here, Bill Brannigan.
Here.
Lee Hardy.
Here.
Bob Berman.
Here.
Jim Hasselman. Not yet. Gary East.
Here.
And Braulio Escobar.
Here.
Okay. We have a request for a change of the agenda. I need a motion to move the citizens' public comment to the end of the meeting.
I make a motion to move the citizens' public comment to the end of the meeting.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Is there a reason for this?
It was requested by Derek, so I asked Derek.
We have folks here who
want to.
The public comment, as it's structured, is public comment on items that are not on the agenda. We have folks that would like to potentially provide some comment on items on the agenda, but are limited in terms of what they can say because, for example, on the final order and findings, you have closed the public hearing and are considering your final order and findings at this point. But they may have some thoughts that they would like to share. And once you've acted, you would be free to hear whatever additional thoughts they may have.
Well, it seems to me that changing it to the end of the meeting when we have what I assume is going to be a moderately lengthy presentation about the Whaler could be have these people be dragging on for a very long time.
Well, if you just want to move it after the action on the findings and final order, that's fine too.
We could move it to after the action items.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, would you like to amend your motion?
I'm amending my motion to move the public comments to the end of the action items.
And Gary? You're on mute, Gary.
And I'll second that amendment.
Okay, then the motion is to move the public comment to after the action items. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay?
Nay.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is approval of the minutes, approval of the Planning Commission work session meeting minutes of January 24th, 2021, and approval of the Planning Commission regular session meeting minutes of January 24th, 2021.
Having read both sets of minutes and submitted one correction that I believe you all got copies of, I move we approve the two sets of minutes as corrected.
I'll second it.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion or other corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Action items. File number 7-CUP-21, final order and findings for conditional use permit to allow the construction and operation of an animal shelter facility and storage at subject project located on a P1 public structures zone. Okay, there has been some discussion about what this final order ought to say, so I think we ought to cover that first.
Jim, do you need to read the stuff about the Zoom meetings?
Not for the final order. That's an action only by the Planning Commission.
Chair Patrick, it would be reasonable, though, to kind of go back through the ex parte contact.
If anybody has any ex parte contacts on this particular issue.
Since the public hearing, yeah.
Lee?
I was contacted by Gina McCrae, who had some concerns about the vote and the process going forward. I suggested she either contact an attorney or talk to Derek.
Okay. Anyone else? Bill?
Yeah, I volunteer for the Sheriff's Department, so we've never discussed the general animal shelter issues, but never specifically.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, that's all the present members. There has been some discussion about what the, and I think we ought to straighten this out first, what constitutes an emergency and holding animals, large horses at the facility. Bob, did you want to start?
Yeah. I initiated this conversation because when I made the motion to add that condition, it was simply no large animals unless a governmental agency has declared an emergency. And Derek expanded on that to federal, state, or local authorities declaring the emergency, but also was added not be located on premises, and he added for more than 24-hour period, unless a state of emergency. That it was not my intent in the original motion to add a condition. The motion was basically to that there should be no livestock or large animals at the facility unless there has been a formally declared emergency. My reasoning is that, well, a couple points. Number one, as soon as you make an exception like that, it has the possibility of becoming standard operating procedures. I'm not suggesting that anybody is trying to get around the rules, but it just sort of works out that way in the long run, especially because we have no enforcement mechanism. The city isn't going to station somebody out there and check in with a timestamp every large animal that shows up. So that's number one. But number two, I really worry about the safety of the handlers and the large animals. We had lots of testimony that large animals do not handle sudden noises well and can easily panic, and that can result in physical harm to either the animal or the handler. And I think that that's just inappropriate. I would probably point out that at the moment, and for probably the last couple of years, something is being done for those animals that need some kind of short-term care or boarding or whatever. I don't know what that is. I'm not familiar with the operation of the shelter, but right now they don't have anything and they seem to be getting along just fine. So I would suggest we either drop the phrase for more than a 24-hour period, or as I suggested in an email, modify Derek's alternate wording to basically get at the same point.
The alternate one does just what you said. So,
well, no,
it says, so the alternate one, which I distributed today, says livestock and other large animals that cannot be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building shall not be located on the premises unless a state of emergency has been declared by federal, state, or local authorities. I believe
right.
That's
but
exactly
the boarding,
what you were calling
the,
for.
No, the boarding is the whole point. I don't think they should be there at all.
Oh, so
regardless of whether they're in the building or I'm not sure what the boarding thing is about, but I don't think they should be there at all because there's going to be airplanes, there's going to be the helicopter, and I think it's a danger. Now, that's my position, and I'd be glad, I would encourage everyone else to let me know whether they agree with it or not. So. That's
I just second before we go any farther. I got to show that Jim Hasselman is present, and I need to ask him to declare any ex parte contact. You're still on mute, Jim.
Now I think you can hear me. I am present, and yes, I did have ex parte contacts with Dan McCray. May I also speak to what Bob just spoke?
Go ahead.
I agree with how Bob has described the last meeting. My understanding was no large animals at the facilities at all. Inside, outside, no. It's not a good place for them to be. I thought that was the intent of the commissioners.
Okay. I seen other hands up. You want to raise your hands again? Bill? Well, you're on mute, Bill.
Yeah, I know. There we're getting it all. I submitted an alternative to Bob's alternative, which essentially says that no large animals unless there's a state of emergency, except in some unusual circumstances, because it might happen 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night or whatever, where there is a large animal that gets loose and animal control captures the animal. And it's like, okay, where are we going to stick it tonight until daylight when we can get the thing located in a proper spot? So my alternative was the same as Bob, but I would add in that under some unique or unusual circumstances, we'd be allowed to do that at the direction of the sheriff of Lincoln County, who controls the animal shelter. And only for that period of time until they can get the animal relocated the following day. Otherwise, you know, stuff happens, and it's kind of a way to handle some bizarre circumstance that no doubt will happen.
Okay, Braulio?
I kind of support Bill's comments there. In my prior life, when I was a lawyer, and if the sheriff had to take control of large animals, typically it was an animal, a horse or cattle, that were being neglected or abused. And typically what they would do is locate another farm to place them. They never brought them to the animal shelter. I think, and I had to drive past the existing animal shelter daily on my way to my home. And the only other time I've seen large animals there was when we had the fires. What was that, 2 years ago? So I would defer and trust the sheriff and his department not to place animals at risk at the airport. And so I guess I would go along with what Bill just had and his alternative motion. The sheriff's department and his staff, you know, they're aware of their own liabilities. They're good people who are generally concerned about the animals, and I would defer on their judgments insofar as these large animals are concerned. That's all I have to say.
Any comment from Lee or Gary?
I think in the extreme emergency, especially if it's really late at night and they cannot find optional facilities for large animals, I don't see an issue with very brief and temporary housing at the animal shelter if there's no other alternative. But they would have to be able to get the animal moved the following day. So I don't know how you would put that into the motion exactly, or how you would kind of word that, but that's kind of my position on it.
Why don't we find out in the past how easy it has been to find alternative housing for those large animals before you jump to a conclusion that it might be easy to camp them there overnight and then move them the next day? Why don't we ask somebody who knows?
Well, the hearing's not open, so we can't do that. We have to make a motion. We have to pass or fail this final order tonight.
Jared Patrick.
Backwards. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you have two different flavors of condition two that really kind of get at the two issues that have been raised. And we could certainly tweak it. I can go shared screen and adjust it. I would only caution against any condition that is discretionary or leaves it open where other different people can have different perspectives on what the language means. Because then it makes it very difficult for us to enforce the terms of the conditional use permit. So, you know, that's the one area that I'd get concerned about is putting in, you know, exception language at the, you know, that would leave it at the discretion of a third party to decide whether or not, you know, they have to adhere to the standard or not. We really want to make those conditions as clear and objective as possible, so there's no confusion by anybody as to what the language means.
Okay, then I see three options. One, no boarding of large animals at all. Two, boarding of large animals under emergency conditions. And third, boarding large animals under emergency conditions and possibly overnight because of an ability to place it elsewhere.
Well,
is that,
is that
what everybody else has got?
Well, I would say placing them overnight would require the express approval of the sheriff of Lincoln County, being the senior member of the Lincoln County's law enforcement, and deferring to his expert or her expert judgment. So I don't think that's a delegatable thing that he can do. That's something that he personally has to handle.
Doesn't that get us into the discretionary again? Or is that reasonable, Derek?
Again, how, so a third party's making that determination, you know, how do we enforce that particular provision? I mean, did we, at the discretion, you're saying that they could have large animals there outside of emergency circumstance if the sheriff says it's okay?
Well, was
yeah.
A highway.
That seems a little loose. That's all. I'm not. That's
yeah.
Not.
Go on.
That was part of my initial point, is that we really have no enforcement mechanism. So as soon as you allow it, there's a discretionary option, then it could very well become routine discretionary option. And I think we're all in agreement
yeah.
that shouldn't, that's not what we want to have happen.
Okay.
I also wonder what the sheriff's department has done for the last 1 or 2 years. Certainly in that time, there's been some difficult times with large animals, and they've not been housed over there on Harney. So what has the sheriff's department been doing in the last 2 years? I can't believe there hasn't been some troubles for animals.
Unfortunately, I don't think we can ask.
Yep.
Chair Patrick,
good point.
Could I bring up that condition? You can take a look at some language and
sure.
See if, just try to help you guys get to a decision point on at least making a motion on final order. So I'm going to go share screen here. Hopefully I catch the, I think it's the final order alternate. Okay, so I'm gonna make it larger so everybody can see it a little bit better. It's condition 2, and I mean, I can tweak it if we need to tweak it, but here was the thought process on it. This gets at least part at what you were driving at with the 24 hour language is gone, as you can see. So it says livestock and other large animals that cannot be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building. And I said that is because all of the testimony had to do with large animals that would be outside and exposed to noise. Plus the animal shelter itself is a relative, it was 9,000 square foot facility, and you had a floor plan more or less showing how it's broken out. So it's not like there's a large amount of area in there. And 3, this takes us away from having to figure out what a large animal is and what isn't a large animal. If it can be housed and boarded entirely in the animal shelter, the presumption is it's not a large animal. If it can't be boarded inside the animal shelter, then it would be a large animal because it can't be boarded inside of the animal shelter. Now, to the emergency issue that Councilor Brannigan brought up, they have a loading area. If they needed to bring in an animal, a larger animal, and for just a very brief period, either for veterinary care or to transition it elsewhere, they have a loading area that they could use that's enclosed within the building for a brief period of time, but that wouldn't, you know, on its face, that wouldn't be appropriate. or humane to use that for boarding a large animal for a long period of time. So I do think that condition gets at both of the issues you've raised. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that reasoning.
Actually, I kind of like that one. And that would mean, I mean, you know, basically, if you're going to pick up a large animal, it's going to be a livestock trailer, and that's basically what it's going to stay in, the livestock trailer. And they may have to park it there overnight, and I don't really have a lot of heartburn about that. And we still have, they're not going to be located on the premises unless a state of emergency has been declared.
Which is what you had asked for.
So,
well, I still don't agree. I think, you know, a livestock trailer is a place where an animal could hurt itself if it were severely startled by the sound of a jet airplane taking off, sound of a helicopter within several hundred feet. I mean, I'm not a large animal owner, and I never have been, so I don't really know the behavior of such animals. But from the testimony we did get, it evidently can be a problem. Sudden loud noises. And I would think that would apply in a livestock trailer outside or even boarded inside. That soundproofing is not going to, I think, I would say it's probably not going to entirely block the sound of these very large machines in close proximity to that building. So I still think that on this option, get rid of the phrase that cannot be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building. Get rid of that whole thing and say livestock and other large animals shall not be located on the premises unless a state of emergency has been declared by federal, state, or local authorities.
Would you like to make a motion to that? Let's have a vote and see if that stands.
I would like to move that we drop from this option two in the alternate document, that we drop the words that cannot be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building, comma.
So it would read like that.
Yes.
Okay, that's the motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second. Okay.
Jim's the second?
Yeah.
All right, any more discussion on the issue? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay?
Nay.
Nay. I believe the nays have it. Would somebody like to make a motion based on the original?
Chair, did you catch who all made? We should probably, do a count on that one.
Let me see a show of hands when I ask for the vote.
I can't see the gallery view anymore.
You want to go through individually?
Yeah, I can do it individually. Let's just go. Okay, Bill?
Nay.
That's nay or yay? A.
No.
No. Okay. Braulio?
No.
Gary?
Yes, I like it.
Okay, that's a yay.
That's a yay.
Okay. Bob?
A yay.
Yay. Lee?
Nay, because I don't like the final order, period.
Jim? I assume that's a nay. You're on mute again, but... and I'm a nay. And Jim was an A, so that's 3-4.
Yeah. That went down on a 3-4 vote, correct.
Okay, would somebody like to make a motion as the original?
The original being?
What you're looking at here.
Okay. So, on the premises in a livestock, I guess it's a livestock trailer is okay, correct?
That isn't what this says. That is not what this says.
No, it would have to be, if it's
in
any large animal would need to be within the animal shelter building.
Okay, but
remember they had a space in there for, kind of a flex space.
The loading area?
The loading area.
Okay. So if they were in the loading area, that would kind of be okay.
That's that under this provision, correct?
That's correct. I would make the motion that livestock and other large animals that can be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building should not be located on the premises unless a state of emergency has been declared by federal, state, or local authorities.
That's pretty open-ended.
That was the original one.
Do I have a second?
Bill, I think when you made your motion on the term cannot, I think you just said can and didn't add not to it.
Well, livestock and, okay, try it again. Livestock and other large animals that cannot be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building shall not be located on the premises unless a state of emergency has been declared by federal, state, or local authorities.
I'll second.
Okay. Do I have a second? Have a second from Braulio? Okay. All right. This time, how about a show of hands? Count this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay?
Nay.
Nay.
That's two nays. Gary, which way were you?
Nay.
Okay, that's three nays. Passes 4-3.
Okay, so do you want to go ahead and do a vote on the full final order and findings with that change?
Yes, I need a motion to that effect.
Make a motion that the Planning Commission support the approval of the requested conditional use permit with the following conditions. Approval of this land use permit is based on the submitted written narrative and plans listed as attachments to the staff report. No use shall occur under this permit other than that which is specified within these documents. It shall be the responsibility of the applicant property owner to comply with these documents and the limitations of approval described herein. Number two.
Bill, can I suggest you just say we approve the final order instead of reading all 11 conditions or however many there are?
Yeah, I think the original order is still the same as it was, but the only number two is the only part that's changed.
Correct.
Okay. So I recommend that we let it be resolved. City of Newport Planning Commission, the attached findings of fact and conclusions support the approval of the requested conditional permit, which remains the same except for the second paragraph, which states livestock and other large animals that cannot be boarded entirely within the animal shelter building shall not be located on the premises unless a state of emergency has been declared by federal, state, or local authorities.
Okay, do I have a second to that?
I'll second it.
Okay, moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed?
Nay.
One nay.
Nay.
Two nays? Fine. Who was the other nay?
Me.
Missed it. Oh, Jim. Okay. So Lee and Jim, and so the motion carries. Okay.
Can't hear you, Jim.
Press the button. We are on back onto the amended agenda, and so now we're on citizens' public comment about anything, or I guess anything on anything they like to talk about, or anything that is not having to do with
the public hearing. Whaler. Yeah, other than the public hearing, correct.
Yeah.
Anyone like raise their hand and I'll call them. Dan. You have to take it off of mute, Dan.
There we go. Sorry about that. Take me a minute here to do it. I just want to kind of go over a couple things here. I've written a letter about that I was going to discuss on this project, but I think we'll have to do that at a later date. But what I do want to comment on is, you know, this world where we got into this COVID stuff and then we got into Zoom meetings, the Zoom meetings are very difficult for many people to attend. A lot of people don't understand how to do it. You know, this was hard for me to attend. I'd never done this before. I had to, you know, all these different things you have to do. It's disappointing to me to have one session on a project like this. So this is an important project. And then we do one public comment section. I happen to just find this by happenstance, or I wouldn't even have commented. Clearly, I was not prepared. So I think that, you know, is a bit disappointing. You guys are making decisions, you know, that impact the community based on not all the information. The other thing I take a little bit of a, you know, have a little bit of a heartache with is when I made the comments at the last meeting, I made several comments and then, you know, the microphone's turned off and several of the other people there made a bunch of comments. And a lot of those comments are very inaccurate and very misleading. But then my time to talk is over. I don't get to rebut that. I don't get to say anything back. So then you make decisions based on information that's not accurate. Maybe not intentionally, but certainly not accurate. So I guess that the comments I have on the rest of this, I will save for the appeal, and I hope we get one. So thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you, Dan. It says Jen Am. I seen your hand go up.
Let me see if I can, here, I'm unmuted. Yes, thank you so much. I'm just gonna talk for a minute. Mine is actually more around, I've been trying now, I found out about this the day after the meeting. And I've just been trying to go around in different counties, and Derek can attest to this. I've been there twice, different people, trying to get some background information on things again for this appeal. So I'm wondering who is it that I can talk to that could answer questions really centered more or less on how this came about, what properties have been looked at, what the budgets look like, how these things are funded, those kinds of things. And I've kind of been ping-ponged around a bit from county to city to Steve Hodges to Claire to Katie, and nobody's been able to answer kind of some pretty basic questions. So I don't know who you recommend I could go talk to. That's my question.
The only thing I know of is to talk to the county. They come forward with a proposal. We don't necessarily know what went on or how they got to this proposal.
Okay.
We so make a decision based on what they present to us.
Okay.
I would think the sheriff is probably the one that would have the broadest background in the entire process from the condemnation of the old building to where we're at today.
All right, that's all I had.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Gina, now it says Gina. Anyone else?
Oh, can I say one more quick thing?
Go ahead.
Just one more quick thing. I did watch that video last time, and I believe it was Mr. East that said he would like more input from pilots and also from the public. But then it was kind of like everything was shut down. So is there any option for that, or is it just strictly with the appeal at this point?
It's basically with the appeal right now.
Okay.
You can appeal it to the city council and then they'll have a hearing. And if, you know, they can either say yay or nay, or they can kick it back to us and we have another hearing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. All right, I'm on to I forgot to do the Zoom stuff at the beginning. That's what I did wrong. Now I get it. All right, we're now into the public hearing, so I have to read this statement. This statement applies to all hearings on the agenda. All testimony and evidence presented towards requests being heard must be directed to the relevant criterion, Newport Comprehensive Plan, Newport Municipal Code, or other land use regulations or standards which the speaker believes to apply to the decision. Failure of anyone to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the Planning Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue will preclude an appeal to Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. An issue which may be the basis for appeal to LUBA shall not be raised not later than the close of record at or following this evidentiary hearing. Such issues shall be raised and accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the city decision makers and parties an adequate opportunity to respond to each issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the city to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages based in the circuit court. Prior to the conclusion of a hearing, any participant may request an opportunity to present additional evidence, arguments, or testimony regarding the application. If such a request is made at the hearing, it will be continued to a date certain and a schedule set for submittal of additional testimony, a period for parties to respond to new testimony, and a period by which whereby the applicant can provide final argument. At this time, I would ask the commission members to disclose any actual potential conflicts, interest, bias, ex parte contacts, or site visits.
None.
Is anyone present to have an objection to the participation of any commissioner or the commission as a whole? Please raise that objection now. Okay. Planning Commission may, at the request of a participant or on its own accord, continue the hearing to a date certain to provide an opportunity for persons to present and rebut new evidence, arguments, and testimony related to the approval criteria. Hearings will proceed in the following order: staff report, applicant's testimony, persons in favor, persons opposed, applicant's rebuttal, record closes for public testimony, commission deliberation, questions, and verbal decision, and a final order and findings will be prepared for consideration in the next meeting. And hearing we're on is file number 1-NB-22, design review modifications to the Whaler at Nye Beach Hotel. Staff report.
Thank you, Derek Tokos, Community Development. Before you is a modification to the design review of the new 25-unit hotel, the Whaler expansion. This is a application that the commission had previously approved with a conditional use permit and design review. After the applicant dove into a number of some of their issues, you know, further refined their design and took a hard look at what their needs are interior to the building and other factors. They determined that there were some design changes that need to be done to the proposed hotel for it to effectively meet their needs. And what that means in the context of the city's zoning ordinances in the Nye Beach design review overlay, if there's a modification to the exterior design, then it must go back through a design review and be evaluated against the same design guidelines that applied when you looked at it the first time. That's addressed under Newport Municipal Code provision 14.30.110. The nature of the changes, try to make it as clear as possible. In your application packet, you saw the markup copy of the plans. In red is where the applicant showed where all of the different changes are. I'm going to summarize the most consequential ones. They moved a portion of the building that faced Olive Street back 5 feet to improve weatherproofing. That caused them to also take a notch out of a corner of the building where it faces Dolphin, just to make sure the entire building stayed on their property. You also had relocation of the mechanical equipment. The original application had the mechanical equipment in the underground storage area. They've moved that to the rooftop area into an enclosure, and that's depicted on the plans. You also had the removal of exterior stairs adjacent to West Olive Street. They had a couple of different accesses onto the cafe veranda area over there. They removed one of them. They also adjusted the location of certain decks, balconies, and windows, and they flagged those on the exterior architectural elevations in your packet. And then they reconfigured some of the sidewalk and frontage work along Southwest Dolphin Street. And they did eliminate one planned off-street parking space. Trash enclosures, which had trash was going to be enclosed and stored in the parking garage area. They'll now be handling it actually over on the existing Whaler site, which is not part of the design review because it's outside the design review district the vicinity of the pool building. The staff report outlines how each of the design guidelines is still being satisfied. I'm not going to go through and review each of them in detail. I'm happy to answer questions any commission member has about any of those findings. It's our view that the guidelines are still met and that the same conditions that the commission elected to impose on the original design review and conditional use permit still hold and still should be applied to this modified design review application. So with that, do you have any questions of staff?
Any questions for Derek? Okay, seeing none. Then we'll move on to applicant's testimony. And I'm not sure who's doing that.
I'll start. Rick Rayburn, CEO of Hallmark Inns and Resorts. And I'll largely defer any comments or question answering to Russell, who is our architect, who's also on the call, because virtually every change is architecturally related and I'm not qualified to speak to it. But I just wanted to thank all of you for the opportunity to come back and present these changes. And with that, I will turn things over to all of you with any questions you have for Russell.
Okay. Any questions from Planning Commission members? Bob? You're muted, Bob.
Sorry, thank you. The discussion, somewhere in the discussion there's a reference to the two crosswalks that will be textured of some sort. But I'm looking on attachment A5, and I only see one of them, in A6 also. So it's a little unclear from the description whether the second crosswalk is a crosswalk to get across Dolphin Street or a crosswalk, as I suggested at the last hearing, to get across Olive Street. Can you just describe the second crosswalk?
It is a crosswalk across Dolphin Street. As I think we discussed last time, there is a pre-existing crosswalk that goes across Olive Street.
So that I don't see that crosswalk on your drawings. Is that just an oversight?
No, those are these are civil drawings. These were existing because it's currently there. So these are the only things that are shown on the site plan sheet. There are the new items.
Well, on attachment A6 or A5, I see is the crosswalk actually indicated there, the one across Elizabeth Street, but I just don't see the other one. But that's fine. If it's not going to be across Olive Street, then it's not really an issue. But seems like the drawings don't represent what's described in the text.
Okay. And I can, like Derek was saying, I was pretty sure that there was already the pavement, the cutout is there on Olive. to have a crosswalk. It was more about getting across safely across Dolphin, since we were adding going to be having to incorporate and improve that portion of the street.
And the other question I had was about Dolphin. As I recall, that was not going to be a through street, but it was going to provide emergency access. That's still the case?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, the more we got to looking at it with city staff, realizing that a lot of retaining and there's a lot of other potential issues that needed to happen, still leaving it there for future if we wanted to take that on. But it was obvious that, emergency access is crucial, to keep that for future use. So we're designing what we can to have, you see there on the north side with pedestrian access, sidewalk, and up to the kind of the intermittent between the two properties. And then that will be a new sidewalk also leading out all the way through to the west, to the ocean. So keeping the pedestrian access through there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Okay. Any other persons in favor? All right. Any persons opposed? Anyone wishing to comment about anything? Okay. Then I'll assume you'll waive your rebuttal. And we'll go ahead and close the record.
If I could, I'm sorry, I was finding my mute button. I wasn't sure if this was the appropriate opportunity for public comment, or is that right?
On this issue, yes, it is.
I'm sorry, I wasn't clear about that, but thank you for the opportunity. I have a question I haven't heard addressed. There's 25 new units. My name is John Rogers, and we are an adjacent property owner to this improvement. And my question is about the 25, couple questions, but are the 25 new units going to be pet friendly? And if so, is there an animal waste plan for pets that will be advertised to be able to stay there? So that's one question. Second question is just on the timeline from start to finish. I guess I haven't, and perhaps that's my own issue, I haven't paid attention enough, if it's been expressed when the project is going to be completed, because that may have a potential impact on our property. So the third question I guess I have is, the parking impacts on Olive Street, are they going to be eliminated, or is the public still going to have the amount of parking that's available on North Olive Street that would be adjacent to the front of the new project? And I guess finally, since it was brought up that the trash handling is going to be moved to that part of the existing property adjacent to the swimming pool, that area is already pretty impacted. It's hard for garbage trucks to get in there as it is. So I guess those are my observations and my questions and my comments. And I thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. Would you like to reply to that?
Sure. Rick, if you don't mind talking to the pet one.
Yeah, I can do that. And I guess my question, my understanding was the questions were limited to the changes. I'm happy to answer the questions, but I just want to make sure it's okay with the Planning Commission that I go ahead and answer those questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
In this forum.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Go ahead.
Perfect. So with regards to the pet, some of the units, we haven't determined how many yet will be designated pet friendly, but yes, some of them will be designated pet friendly, and there will be a designated pet area on the south side of the new building. So there will be a designated pet area there. As far as when the project will start, that's dependent upon when the financing comes through. So we're in the process of doing that right now. We're moving forward right now with, you know, everything that we possibly can. But yeah, we're waiting for the final bit of financing to come to fruition, and then we'll move forward. So we're ready to, yeah, we're ready to get started relatively soon. I'll let Russell speak to the actual, you know, kind of time from start to finish. He has a little bit better idea of that. And then I'm sorry, I missed what you're, I know there was a fourth question. I don't recall what it was.
Parking.
With regards to parking, I think that's probably best answered by Derek. As far as the, how the parking regulations work in the Nye Beach district. I think I know, but I know he knows. So.
Yeah. Timeline wise, we're looking to submit, April, and be wrapped up with drawings by hopefully June to start construction somewhere around then. And then it's perfect world is 14 months construction time, but we're getting, some of you who may already know with kind of the way things are going right now, there's been a huge, huge lead times on number of items. So we're trying to pick some of these things up immediately and figure out how we can get them rolling, because we just found the garage doors for project are a year out on another project. So just insane to think about things that you would normally be able to go and pick up. You have that long of a lead time. And then parking right now, we're not asking for any additional parking. And again, I think Derek can, you know, talk to this as well. If we do need some off-street parking, I believe that we can take some if needed, but we have not requested for any.
Yeah, I'll just speak to that. In the Nye Beach district, there's an allowance for development to take advantage of adjacent on-street parking spaces on a one-to-one ratio with what they, you know, are required to provide off-street. In this case, the Whaler has met their parking needs on, you know, off-street for the most part. And so they're putting in a below grade parking area and then some additional, a small number of additional spaces, surface parking as well. So they're not relying upon available on-street spaces adjacent to the project to meet their parking needs.
The other question had to do with the trash.
Trash, yep. Sorry, I was just going to go to that. So the more we looked at this, the having, and I apologize, I started with the new company that Mr. Rayburn had hired about 4 months ago, and I took this on from a previous architect. And as I started getting into it, we started to see a lot of things weren't quite developed. And trash being in the parking garage, obviously there's a number of issues there. How does the truck get into the parking garage or near the parking garage and trying to roll trash out and block a street? And there was just a number of things there. So leaving it kind of in its current location, I believe on your guys's A6 attachment, it kind of shows a little bit how the rerouting of the parking works. It's kind of a loop sort of system now, and with the in and out on Dolphin, and then potentially again the emergency access. I don't know if it could be used or not for trash if needed, but it's more about getting through. They can actually go through and park right next to and dump, and then go right out the other side. So not impeding with any other traffic flow.
And I think, John, to one of your other points, part of this development does require us to do some redevelopment at the south end of Dolphin Street as well. And having room to turn, you know, a trash truck around down there is a big part of what we've been discussing.
Hey, Bob?
Yeah, to follow up on the whole the dog thing, hadn't thought about that, but you know, you're right next to two heavily used public properties, and you know, when I travel, it's pretty obvious when people are not taking advantage of either planned dog exercise areas and just letting their dogs basically poop anywhere, which could be at the pack or in the park. So I just an editorial comment, if there's some way to seriously encourage people to at least use bags. And one approach I've seen used is you hand out, you know, somebody's in a dog room, you hand out a little welcome kit that includes a few dog bags and a couple of dog biscuits. And it goes a long way towards encouraging people to actually clean up so that we don't end up stuck with a city responsibility of cleaning up things that they shouldn't have to.
And we do provide those in the guest room as part of the pet welcome bags that we give out, as well as having them available for free for people to pick up at the front desk to take out with them if they're going elsewhere, and dispensers in our pet areas as well.
Okay, that would be excellent. Thank you.
Okay, I think I'm going to keep this open for a second here and make sure there wasn't any other comments from anyone else. Okay, then I'll assume that concludes your rebuttal. And I'm going to close the hearing and start a commission deliberations with Bill.
Just leave it. Head on mute. I think the revision that the Whaler has put forward clearly explained, and I really have no issues with any of it. So I would be in favor.
Braulio?
I concur with Bill. The Whaler, Hallmark and the Whaler, they've been good citizens for the last several decades here in Newport. This plan appears to be in fine form, and I'd be in favor of approving the application.
Gary?
I like the changes, so I would agree with everybody, and let's move forward and approve this.
Bob?
I concur.
Lee?
I concur as well.
Jim?
Oh, I'm good with it.
Okay. And I think it meets the standards and, you know, nothing major going on. So that said, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make the motion to approve the application as submitted by the Whaler at Nye Beach.
And that's with the conditions?
With the conditions that's outlined in the staff report.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, moved and second. Any more discussion on the issue? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Okay, we're on to new business, unfinished business, and director's comments. I have something before we start that. I think we need to, if we're going to do these Zoom meetings anymore, we should put the Zoom script in the public, as part of the public published.
Did you like it in the packet?
Yeah, in the packet, so that people have some idea how this is going to work.
You mean in the newspaper publication?
As part of the packet.
Uh-huh.
Have the Zoom video conference format meeting script. I think that helped people a lot trying to figure out how this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little easier when you're doing it in a formal hearing and face to face because it comes pretty obvious. But in the Zoom meeting, it's really hard to keep the flow going when people are, you know, trying to figure out if they're on mute or not on mute, or you know, is this the right part? So I think if we published it, I think it gives a little better chance of following along.
We can include it in the packet on a regular basis.
That
helps.
On the agenda.
Quick question. For a while there, we were saying it was okay for a few people to show up there in City Hall. Is that still the case?
Yes.
And do we make that clear in the public notice that is an option with appropriate precautions, of course, masking and all that?
I'll take a look at that, Bob. We had it at one point hybrid, but I need to take a look at what we were using for boilerplate language.
Okay, thank you. Because that could eliminate, as mm-hmm. somebody said, some people have a terrible time figuring out Zoom but would really like to contribute. So.
Okay. Anyway, then we're back to any new business or I guess we do have one new business, the annual statement of economic interest, SEI filing.
Yeah, that's just a reminder for you guys to file the forms.
Good. Do we get an email on that and then we just click on a link? Is that still the case? Because I haven't gotten anything yet.
I won't see it until March, but.
That's what I had a conversation with Peggy Hawker about it. She said generally around mid-March, they'll send the reminders out with the link.
Okay.
Okay.
And she's good about sending out a reminder, saying it's out. Make sure you do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this was just put in here to keep it on your minds.
By the way, how long do we have that advantage of having Peggy babysit things like that?
That's fluid at this point. Okay. Not too much longer, but it's still a little fluid.
Just make sure whoever takes over follows the same thing. Any unfinished business?
No.
Or director comments?
Just briefly, the city council agreed to initiate that island annexation process. You probably heard that, but I wanted to at least let you know that we'll be firing up that process now that the council's initiated that. Engaging the county and surveyor and so forth. So as we've discussed, so that process will get started. We'll be soon firing up the housing study as well. We have a consultant on board for that. So we'll get that process going. The council did impanel the parking advisory committee. Bill Brannigan, congratulations. you're one of the members. They have a couple of vacancies still. They have one vacancy in Nye Beach and one in City Center. If you know anybody in Nye Beach or City Center who might be interested in that, let them know that's still something they can apply for. And the council would love to fill those last two seats. So that would be great. The only other thing relative to the appeal, Jim, I just wanted to let you know that the city council cannot send the animal shelter one back to the planning commission. This is quasi-judicial, not legislative. They've got so on an appeal, the city council is going to have to decide the appeal. And if the either party doesn't like it, they can go to the land use board of appeals. That's how the process would work. We're on a 120-day clock. We can't do that kind of thing on the quasi-judicial. In fact, the council is going to have to decide. It's an on-the-record hearing that they have to hold unless they believe there was significant procedural error, in which case they could bump it to a full evidentiary hearing. So the chances are they'll hold the hearing on an appeal, but it would be based on the same record that was before the commission, so that they're deciding their appeal on the same set of facts that you made your decision on. That's how the on-the-record review works.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Jared, when I stopped in, I chatted with you briefly today about the parking lot on, I think it's 9th and Hubert.
Yep.
And you suggested there might be some ordinance regarding that lot coming up. Would that come before the commission? We'll go straight to the city council.
That one might go straight to the city council. I'm not certain we're going to have a land use piece to that ordinance in terms of land use regulations. I think largely it's about how we enforce our parking rules relative to people that are homeless and living in vehicles or camping in public places. And it relates to Boise v. Martin and some of the other litigation that's out there nationally that does limit somewhat what local jurisdictions can do when somebody's just trying to rest and they're resting in a public space. And so the League of Oregon Cities is going to be putting out some guidance, some best practices type guidance, I suspect, or even, maybe even a model ordinance. And they've indicated they'll be doing that in late March.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of we're working on some language. We're having internal discussions. And then we're going to probably wait until we see what comes from the league before we finalize it. But I'm happy to keep you guys in the loop. And certainly if there's any kind of land use piece to it, we'd want to make sure it gets to the Planning Commission.
Just my own observation, it seemed like the every 2 weeks or so, there'd be an additional overnight vehicle. So it's slowly expanding.
Right. No,
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it's good. It's just an observation.
Mm-hmm.
If you would keep us up to date on that, I'd appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Anything else? Okay, seeing nothing, then I'll declare us adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Patrick.
Thank you,
everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.